morning. While you look around, you may have already figured out that our order of worship will follow a little different format this morning. So I will begin with our moments of informality, where I will take a few minutes to tell you about the mission and ministry of our church. And there is just one announcement this morning that I will speak of from here from the lectern, and that is that we are having a covered dish dinner for the November Fellowship Night. That Fellowship Night will be held on November 6th downstairs in the gym. We hope you come for a wonderful meal and spend time visiting friends and family, playing your favorite games. So I will be passing this around during our sign of the peace. So if you are interested in attending Fellowship Night, please sign up. Now, when I say that there will be no announcements, there are plenty of announcements in your bulletin, and you may have even noticed that they have been flashing on the screen. So I do remind you, please, we have many, so make certain that you take a look at your bulletin very carefully, because there will be no reading of the announcements. And now, may the peace of Christ be with you. Please pass. Oh, like I said, it's a different format this morning. Thank you, Cathedral Bells. Now I would ask that you stand and follow along in your bulletin or on the screen under the heading of Call to Worship.
Passing the peace. Now it's
passed. Well, now we pass the peace. I should have went to the breakfast that they lovingly provided for the choir this morning. Need some brain food. Pass the peace to all here this morning.
We'd invite you to return to your pews and join us in the call to worship. No, I'm just going to fill in until you get up here.
I'll tell ya, I think I'm going to just mosey on over to the Colonial Grill. As Diane said, please stand and follow along in your bulletin or the screen. And this morning, you all will lead with a prompt and I will respond.
Sing.
For new every morning mercies, for what the Lord has done for you. For forgiving the sin that only you and God know about. For grace that is more than sufficient. For every mountain you brought us over. For hardship you saw us through. Our souls sing, Alleluia, yes and Amen. Please remain standing and join in our hymn of praise number 3012 printed in your bulletin or on the screen. And join me as we recite our unison prayer together. We are people who must sing for you for the sake of our very lives. You are a God who must be sung by us for the sake of your majesty and honor. And so we thank you for lyrics that push us past our reasons, for melodies that break open our givens, for cadences that locate us home beyond all our safe places, for tones and tunes that open our lives beyond control and our futures beyond despair. We thank you for the long parade of mothers and fathers who sung you deep and true. We thank you for the good company of artists, poets, musicians, cantors, and instruments that sing for us and with us. Toward you, we are a witness to your mercy and splendor. We will not keep silent ever again. Amen. Our first scripture reading from the Old Testament, Psalm 95. Please follow along, reciting your response. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into God's presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God and a great ruler above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth and also the heights of the mountains. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. For the Lord is our God.
Make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. The Lord is a great God and a great King over all the earth. The Lord is a great God and a great King over all the earth. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation.
This is where children belong. Welcome, as part.
No, that's all right. I'll just have to get it screwed back on there. Since I left the other mic up there, I'm going to use this one and drive Josh nuts back there. Kids, as you've noticed today, we're talking about the Book of Psalms. Does anybody know anything about, have you ever heard of the Book of Psalms? Do you know what that is? You guys have. How about you guys? Okay, Psalms were made as the very first hymn book. Hi, come on up, honey. The people used it a long time ago to sing their songs, to say their prayers, just to use it to structure how they were talking to God. And the Psalms, when I was doing some research, I found some interesting information. That looks like pretty much the middle of this Bible, doesn't it? Guess what the middle is? It's Psalm 118. That's the very middle of all the books in the Bible, according to some people. And the Psalm that comes right before it, number 117, is the very shortest one in the whole Bible, and it only has two verses. The very longest one is 119 on the other side, and it goes on forever and ever and ever, I think. Now, the interesting thing, if you counted up all the verses, the very middle verse in the Bible, according to some people, is Psalm 118, verse 8, and it says, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in man." And you know what that means? God needs to be the center of our life. Everything we say and do and think needs to be centered right on God. We need to rely on God all the time, not necessarily on people around us. Okay? All right, let's say a prayer, please. Bow your heads. Dear Lord, we thank you for the lessons of the Psalms, and we thank you for reminding us that we need to center everything we say and do on you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, I think the cups today, somebody told me it goes toward the food bank. Oh, Meals on Wheels. I'm sorry, Meals on Wheels. So if I could have some help from some sunshiners or to pass out cups, can we do that? And Alex, if you want to get those older bulletins over there, here are the younger ones. We'll get the cups passed out. Yeah, pass the cups out so everybody gets one. Make sure you get a bulletin. And we hope you will continue to be generous with your special offering for the children, this time for Meals on Wheels. And I'm going to attempt to put the microphone back together.
Teacher, hi.
Great job. Thank you, Sunshiners. Our second scripture reading continues with the Psalms, chapter 89, verses 1 through 4. Please follow along, reciting your response. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever.
their God in the sanctuary. Singers lead the way, fragrant melodies rise to give him praise. Sacred name of Yahweh, holy name of Yahweh, we dance, we praise, we wait for Yahweh. Wicked are destroyed before our holy God. Riding on the clouds, descending on the heights, abundant rain falls down, yeah. Sacred name of
Are there any joys and concerns that you'd wish to share? I had two from the earlier service. Kathy is having surgery on her hamstring at St. Margaret's on Thursday, and Jim is in UPMC East, but it doesn't say what for. Also just handed one, Ruth is having lumpectomy surgery on Wednesday at Westmoreland Hospital. So if we could keep them in our prayers. Are there any others? Let us pray. Almighty God, in raising Jesus from the grave, you shattered the power of sin and death. We confess that we remain captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We overlook the poor and the hungry, and pass by those who mourn. We are deaf to the cries of the oppressed, and indifferent to calls for peace. We despise the weak, and abuse the earth you made. Forgive us, God of mercy. Help us trust your power to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the joy of life abundant, given in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Now let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You to turn in your worship folders or follow along on the dedication of all of our musicians. That are using their gifts and talents in the life of the church. Dear friends, let us recognize those who have responded to the call of God to the ministry of music in the church, to direct, to sing, to play instruments, and to dance our ministries of Christ among us. Those called to these ministries need our loyal support and our prayers. We recognize today our Minister of Music, Diane Runser, the the members of the chancel choir, the sunshiners, the cathedral bells, the temple bells. Making music to praise God in the congregation is a ministry that requires devotion and discipline. Do you accept this responsibility for this ministry?
I do.
Will you be faithful to the disciplines of music?
Lord, to begin another year of serving you, we come with varying gifts, believing that you have created us and called us to the same ministry as David and the Levites. Using the gifts of which your servant Paul writes, to lead your people in grace and to build up one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We lay our gifts at your feet and pray that you will use us. As we sing, remind us of your love for all your children. Remind us that you have called us to this ministry when we face difficult times, times of fatigue and times of disappointment, times of grief and times of frustration, times of confusion and times of hard work, times when things go badly and especially when things go well. Help us to see ourselves as part of your kingdom and to know that you love us solely because you created us. Help us to love you solely because you are our eternal King. These things we pray in the name of him who loved you and who loved us and who gave himself for us, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
May the faith expressed by your music live in our hearts, and what you believe in your heart, practice in your life. May God give you grace to offer your music and your life in faithfulness and consecration, now and in the world to come. Dear friends, as members of the congregation, I commend to you these persons engaged in the music ministry and the life of this church. To them has been given the ministry of music in the church. Will you sustain them with your encouragement and your prayers as together we seek to offer praise to God? Let us pray. O Lord, our God, bless these ministries of music and those who offer them in your service. Give to these persons love for you and your people, fullness of heart as they praise you, and diligence in their music may be a worthy offering to your glory. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I would now ask our ushers to come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Oh, gracious God, as we share this offering, we see how a wonderful music ministry reminds us of your majesty. Receive our gifts as signs that we remember just how great thou art. We marvel that you love us so. Thank you, great God, as we present this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
started out writing today's sermon, and I ran into a lot of difficulties with it. As you could tell, things are a little bit different today, and we've dealt pretty much with Psalms. So we wanted to keep that as a theme. But not only is it about Psalms and Music Recognition Sunday, it's also Laity Sunday. So I had to try to figure out how to work that in. And I wasn't really seeing it. And I had agonized over it, and I had worked, and I had studied, and it just wasn't coming to me. But a week ago, someone approached me and said, oh, and don't forget, it's also the third week in the stewardship series that the pastor was doing. And I'm like, oh, great. Now what do I do? Well, I ended up where I should have started, and that was that I decided to let the Lord lead, and I would follow. So as you can tell, today's worship has been different. In most orders of worship, you have an Old Testament reading, an epistle reading, and or a gospel reading. Sometimes a related psalm is used as a responsive reading. Well, in case you haven't noticed, today's service has none of the normal scripture readings. Today's worship has only had psalms, and they have all been responsive. This was not done to downplay the importance of the normal elements, for the gospel is the most important message from God to anyone. It was, however, done to highlight the importance of the book of Psalms as a guide in our corporate and private worship. The Psalms are essentially a collection of songs and lyrics praising God. They are written by various authors, David, Korah, Asaph, and some with unknown authors. As Diane mentioned, they help us to remember that no matter what, that God is the center of our life. In ancient days, the Psalms were sung extensively in worship, making the worship participatory. The worshipers were able to worship God personally. Now, I'm not claiming that we don't worship God personally, but today, most churches have more of an event-based worship style. This event-based worship is more like going to see a movie or a football game. We go, we sit, we watch, we cheer, and we follow the stats while someone else does the doing, whether it be the pastor or the choir, a praise band, or some other person or group. But this is not what God wants. He wants us to participate in worship. He wants us to thank Him and praise Him. He wants us to be content with what we have received from Him. He also expects us to live lives of outreach, to do, and not just to think or pray. From James, we are told, "Be ye doers of the words, and not just hearers of the word." And if that isn't enough, the Methodist Church expects you, as its laity, to get out of the pews and the safe confines of these walls and go out into the world carrying God's word to everyone, letting His word save and transform them. So how does this relate to Psalms? Well, God wants us to do. Christianity is about doing. The book of Psalms is about doing worship. Do you see the theme yet? The book of Psalms contains a language in poetry and song for worshiping the Lord our God. It shows us how we should communicate with the one who gives us all that we need. Whether we are happy, sad, unsure, insecure, or angry, we have a way to communicate with our Lord. Not all Psalms are happy. Some are angry and full of hurt and loneliness, but all are filled with comfort. The Psalms teach us how to express ourselves to God and find peace and joy in that expression. Through this communication called worship, whether it is corporate or private, we can find peace, comfort, sanctuary, and contentment. Only then are we content in God's, only when we are content in God's provisions will we be at total peace and union with our Savior. If we use the Psalms as a guide to worship in our corporate and private worship, we will find that we will communicate with and understand our Lord more easily. We must make reading the Psalms a daily routine so that we can readily use its language in our many life situations. When this happens, we will find a peace and understanding surpassing anything we've experienced. When this happens, we will live content in the Lord our God. So let me ask you, what is your favorite psalm? Anyone? It's participatory. 91. Any others? That's not a psalm, John. But that's a good one. Does anyone have any other favorite psalms? Psalm 100? I'm sorry? My hearing is bad. 132? 102. Okay. Who said 102? Did someone say 102? 103. 103. Okay. Why 103?
Just reminds me that no matter what, God is with you. He says he remembers our frame. He remembers that we are dust. And yet he is always with us to lift us up.
And was that you, Debbie, that said 91? Okay. We're going to stop over here because I heard another one right down here.
Psalm 100, it talks about being thankful for God for his everlasting love and goodness.
Was it 23rd?
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not, it just says it all. He's there.
Before the Second World War, or during the war, when my neighbor's sons were going to be going off to war, she had them and their friends to their house, and she read the 91st Psalm over them and prayed for them, and every one of them came back alive.
Would anyone else like to share their favorite psalm and why? Why is it your favorite?
Because he believes in everyone. If you believe, you will achieve.
Sure.
Psalm 119.
It says, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. For my understanding, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path.
The Psalms are really beautiful. I'll tell you, my favorite one is Psalm 22. It's a lamentation of David. If you're not familiar with it, it's the one that starts, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason why this is one of my favorites is that it lets me know that I am not the only one who at times questions God, who gets angry with God, or who feels forsaken by God. But wait a minute, you can't question God or get angry with God. It's just not right and proper, is it? Well, David and Jesus prove different. If you listen to them and some of their psalms or their sayings, you'll find that there were often times when they felt left out or felt all alone and asked, why have you forsaken me? But the best part about the psalm is that in the end, it brings you back to that peace and that faith and into that praising relationship with God. And most of all psalms do that, no matter where they start, whether it's a psalm of praise, whether it's a lamentation, or whether it's a supplication. It may start out joyous, it may start out sad and longing, but it always ends up with that firm belief and faith that I will praise the Lord. We also, by the way, see an interesting type of psalm in the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. I would almost say that that's a perfect psalm and should be in that book also. Right now, what I want to do is I want to challenge you. If you want to ask God for the strength to be a doer and not just a hearer, if you want to commit to becoming better at communicating with Him, if you want God to fill you with a contentment that only He can fill you with, or if you are angry at Him, feeling forsaken, or just want to praise Him, I challenge you to join me at the chancel rail for a moment of silent prayer.
O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord, my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Today's scripture reading will also be done responsively. You'll find it on page 862. It is Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise God for his mighty deeds. Praise God with trumpet sound. Praise God with tambourine and dance.
Praise God with strings and pipe.
Praise God with sounding cymbals.
Praise God with loud cymbals.
Let everything that breathes praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Here we stand, with the whole city gathered at our door, waiting for our Sunday celebrations to end, hoping that we will notice that there is a community outside these walls, longing for healing, help, and hope. As we walk through these doors, help us to worship and work with our eyes open, so that we might love and feel and even ache with our neighbors. When tomorrow comes, let worship continue to flow through our hands, testifying to your love and greatness. Amen.